In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday, a day of rejoicing as we commemorate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, a day of getting out the palm branches and shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But already, the shadow of crucifixion hangs over this celebration, as is made clear in the very visceral way by the reading of the Passion narrative, the account of Jesus' trial and execution. Palm Sunday is the gateway into Holy Week, and today's celebration is followed by Holy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Eve, and Easter Sunday. Starting on Wednesday, for us here at Christ Church, we begin the journey here in this parish. With Maundy Thursday, the Triduum begins. Triduum is the Latin word which means 3 days, and it's a traditional term given to the 3 days that begin with the evening Mass on Maundy Thursday and end after the Easter Sunday celebration. Maundy Thursday has its own elaborate liturgy, which this year will include the Petit Lavum, which is Latin for foot washing, the solemn Mass and procession to the altar of repose and the stripping of the altar. I pray that you will join us for that very significant foot washing and also participate in it. On Good Friday, we again pray the stations before the Good Friday liturgy, including the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. Pre-Sanctified means that Holy Communion is given as an oblation from pre-consecrated hosts at a previous Mass, and it's been reserved. Sunday, we will have Easter with its beautiful music to announce to the world that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. It's very easy to look at the demands of Holy Week as a demanding schedule of somber observances that we need to get through in order to arrive at what really counts, namely Jesus' resurrection. Is there really any meaning to the holy services aside from them being a prelude to Easter? Taking our faith seriously is like going on a journey, and some of us recognized it during our Lenten circle of compassion together. Early Christians knew better than we do that committing ourselves to discipleship is not a one-time decision, but an ongoing, lifelong tradition. And our Anglican tradition calls this ongoing conversion. As we've discussed in our journeying together, this journey can involve times of great joy, certainty, freedom from heightened experience of the very presence of God. But so too, we can lose our way, becoming very discouraged. We can be doubtful, depressed, and understandingly and normally even angry at God. The spiritual journey can be a daunting and discouraging experience. So to help understand the spiritual journey, the early Christians left writings which explained phases that we go through, phases that we encounter on the journey. Some of the most helpful writings describe 3 phases, and you may have never heard these words before, but it really is very helpful. Those words are illumination, purgation, and union. They knew that these 3 phases overlap, and they are often in no orderly transition from one to the next. And you may recognize them in your own spiritual journey. Illumination refers to the direct experience of a glimpse of God's presence in a way that is self-authenticating, affirmative, and transformative. These experiences can be off-putting, challenging, and revealing, but they are always, always inviting and healing and affirming of the individual. They can be brief, it can be a one-off, one-time shot, and not even occur often. But once we have been blessed by a glimpse of God, by the energies of God. They become our reference point on the way, the reference point on the journey. They become the lamp to our feet, the light on our path. Purgation, the second word, refers to the difficult times, the times of suffering, the times of testing, like Jesus' own temptation in the wilderness following his baptism in the River Jordan. The word purgation means cleansing or shedding, because for the people of faith, crises are always invitations to rid themselves, with God's help, of the inner and outer obstacles that have accumulated on our journey. And union refers to the beatific vision of God after death, but also here, now, to participate in God, to being filled with the light of Christ, already to some extent in our lives right now, if we can see this. One time I remember being assigned by my spiritual director to read a book called, of all things, Becoming Christ by Brian Taylor. I was so put off by the title that I got the book, but I couldn't even open it until I gained an understanding from him, of course, that I do not become Christ, but I and we do, by nature of being open and to participating in the energies of God, that's the lifelong journey. For the central affirmation of our faith, what we are testifying to as we enter Holy Week is that God became man so that man might become God. This central affirmation of our Christian faith declares that God himself has entered into the human situation, into our situations, in our lives, and in doing so, totally can transform it. And as such, it requires its radical transformation, our understanding of who God is, and his presence and power working in us and through us. This process, illumination, purgation, union, the whole process together, is called theosis. And to look at Holy Week through this lens, we can more readily understand and appreciate the journey that Jesus made from his joyful entry into Jerusalem to the crucifixion and resurrection, which was indeed that very pattern, illumination, purgation, and finally union. Our Palm Sunday affirmation of Jesus, the purgation that began with these difficult and trying days that followed, the deepening gloom as it became clear that there was no way for him to avoid death if he chose to stay faithful to God, what God had called him to do, the fellowship with his disciples on the night before his death, their very abandonment of him except for a few women followers, the dreadful sense on the cross that even God had forsaken him, the final yielding of his spirit to the Father, the apparent utter failure of his mission, and then the resurrection and the union with God, the being raised from the dead in a transfigured state that signified victory over the forces of evil. This way of looking at the spiritual journey can help us to see that Holy Week can serve as a model at any point in our lives to help us navigate through these difficult and trying times, to guide us when the going gets tough, during times of crises and times that seem insurmountable, impossible to get through, times where we run up against the limits of our own ability to cope, and times that we know that only through God's mercy and his Holy Spirit can we get through. There's people in this parish right now who are struggling with difficult challenges in their lives, with grief, with loss, with illness, with incapacitation, with end-of-life issues, with economic hardship, with with troubles in marriages, troubles in their families, with doubt, uncertainty, regret, failure, and self-doubt. None of us is exempt from a concern that troubles all of us. So as we stand on the threshold of Holy Week, let us do more than journey with Jesus through the final days of his earthly life, from the celebratory entrance into Jerusalem to his crucifixion and resurrection. Let us ponder what we are called to do as people of faith and followers of Christ at this very point in our own lives. Let us recall our moments of divine illumination that serve as the light on the path, the reference points of our spiritual journey, and let us use any difficult and trying time that we may be going through as a means to redirect our spirits and to the one who stands already to help us and to support us, and who can make a way where there's no way in life and death. And now let us give glory to God, whose power working in us can do more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.